Today we're going to, as we're continuing on our series of parable, and today we're going to look in the parable of the wedding feast and the great banquet. And actually, it's a very, very nice parable. I like this one, and it tells a lot of things that make you feel very happy at the end, because this parable is, there's a lot of things to tell about. There's so much that during my preparation, I changed it, I think, a lot of time. But it's a very nice one. I love this one, and it's one of my favorite. And if you have your Bible, you can open it, or otherwise it will be on the screen. So I'm going to read in ESV version, Luke chapter 4, verse 7 to 24. Now he held a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they choose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God.' But he said to him, 'A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the street and lanes and the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Actually, when you see that this parable, Jesus, he speaks in parable in much, like in every his ministry. But do you know why why Jesus, during his ministry, teaching parable. I will give you these two reasons. The first reason is Jesus had two reasons for teaching in parables. The first was to enable his followers to grasp the secret of the kingdom of heaven more easily. It was a teaching tool for them and us. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer continues to use these parables today to teach us the secret of the kingdom. This is the first one. And the second one is just the opposite of the first one, the second one. It hid the secrets of the kingdom from those who had not committed themselves to his lordship. Parables allow those who have faith, along with the instruction of the Holy Spirit, to learn about the kingdom, and they prevent others from doing the same. Those without faith and the Spirit are unable to understand the truth of Jesus' parable. That's what he said. Those who can hear. That's why he talk in parable, he speak in parable. And then this parable is in two parts. The first part is the wedding feast, and the second part is the grand banquet. I think you said wedding feast, grand banquet, it's the same, isn't it? No. They are different. They are different. It looked the same when it says wedding feast and then grand banquet, but it's different. Because when he said the wedding feast, he's talking, if you go to Luke verse 7 and 8 in chapter 14, he said, now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they choose the place of honor. So, the kind of scene which Jesus witnesses and which Luke described was apparently pretty common in these days and in our days. Imagine you are invited in a dinner, and then you arrive, and then you just got the top of the table, sit down, have a chat with your friend, smiling, talking, and having fun. And the host of the dinner just came up to you and said, please, can you move to another place? How humiliated is it, isn't it? How embarrassing. You were just like with your friend here and talking, having fun. We were just at the top of the table, and someone came up to me and said, please, can you move? Oh. I've been, you know, this kind of humiliation is so, like, you know, you feel like, I don't know what to do. Going to the lowest place or go back home? You know, it's have been so embarrassing. But we do have some people who arrive late, and what they do, they just like find a place just in a corner to avoid this kind of humiliation. You do have people who are late in dinners and wedding. In order to avoid humiliation of being asked to give up the seat. Have you noticed, I don't know if some of you, some come late, some come earlier. Have you noticed that Duncan always said, can you come sit in front? Who? I've noticed. He always said, can you come here, come and sit in front. I remember once he said to me, I wish one day when I come to church, all these were full and I have to sit at the back. I can tell you that I've been in some church and I've been surprised to see that some of the front chairs, there's written reserved. And I don't say it's the best one I've seen, the front chairs, it's written, let's say, Pastor Jepson and pastor's wife. How do you react when you see things like that? And you go to a church and say, oh, I can't sit there. Oh, I can't sit there. It's reserved. This one's for the pastor. I know sometimes you feel shy to sit in front. Maybe we ask questions and then we are sitting there in front and just point at you, can you answer? I know sometimes it's shy, but that's not the point. Sitting in front, there's no place of honor. There's no reserved place in church. I remember when I joined Trinity, it was across the road. I came early, but I did not sit in front. I was just sitting in the corner. Duncan and Andy Cooley, came up and said, please come in front, come in front. It's not because I was shy, yeah, a little bit, but I thought that the front row was reserved for the pastor and his team. I said, oh no, I can't go there. But no, it's not reserved. Look, these are empty. These are empty. All these chairs are empty. It's not reserved. It's not a place of honor. It's a place where everyone can sit. It's a place where we can, I don't know, maybe near the worship, near the one who's preaching. It makes you feel, I can tell you that the day that I start staying in front, I feel different. Something changed. I feel like the Holy Spirit, I don't know, I won't say that the Holy Spirit is not working for those working at the back. No. But when you are in front, there's something different. I suggest those who sit at the back, try it. Come and sit at the front, and you will tell me that there's a change. There's something different. This kind of thing where people sit in the top of the table for a dinner or a wedding. Back in my country, I cater for a lot of weddings and dinner, and I have witnessed this kind of thing where the host of the dinner or the wedding, he came up to people and said, please, can you move backward because this is not reserved for you. And I feel really sad for these people because they were sitting there and in front of a lot of people just said, please, can you move? It's really, really embarrassing, believe me. That's bring me to Proverbs 25. Verse 6 and 7, where it says, do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to put lower in the presence of a noble. So the place of honor is for me, it's for the Lord. In church, we don't have reserve place of honor. You can sit Yes, whatever you want. And in front, it's a better, not a better view, but you feel different. Just try it. Maybe next week, I can see more people in front. No? Yeah? The one sitting at the back, maybe. And this brings us to the second point of my sermon is humility. In verse 11, he says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and who humbles himself will be exalted." Do you know how many times humble and humility occurs in the Bible? I know there's a lot of questions. How many times? 80. 60 in the Ancient Testament and 20 in the New Testament. So if you go through, you will see there's a lot of where we talk about humility and humble. Jesus emphasizes how humility will take you to higher places rather than putting yourself on the platform right away. Yes, we want to be lifted up. Who among you don't want to be lifted up? Everyone. But what should we do to be lifted up? What should we do? You can tell me. We need to be earthly good. If we stand up there, at the top of the hill, then there's no elsewhere to go than going down. Because we put ourselves up there most of the times. But if we start ourselves at a humble position, then at any time, you can be lifted up. We can be exalted. Same for those who sit at the back in the wedding or a dinner. These people will be asked to come at the top of the table. In this parable, Jesus infers it is the person who humble enough to assume he doesn't, but willing to come when God calls. In Proverbs 22, verse 4, it says, "The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is rich and honor and life." You know, some of you know my job is I'm a chef. And back in my country, I used to be an executive chef in 5 and 4 star hotel. And the thing is, when I was at the top, I put myself here. And I become someone arrogant. I was not humble at all with those who was down there. And you know what happened? I fall down. And 2 times. Because I was here and did not care about those who was down here. And I fall down. I was thinking, by that time I was not I haven't started my journey yet with Jesus. I was Catholic. And then I was thinking, why? Why and how I fall down? And the answers came some years later. I met Jesus, was born again, and start reading the Bible. Before, I never touched the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I become someone who start loving reading the Bible. And I learn humility. Because the Bible talks about humility and to humble yourself. And this changed my life. Because I realized that being humble to someone is you be humble to God. We are the creation of our Lord. So when we are arrogant with someone, not be humble, it's with God we are doing these things. So humility is not like will put you down. No. Humility will exalt you, will put you higher. Be humble with anyone, with your friend, your colleague, your neighbors, or everyone. Be humble. I think in Samuel, when we were doing the series Samuel, we talk about humility also. So this word humble and humility will always come across so that you can know that how much God was humble. Jesus was humble when he was here. You might think that sometimes it's a bit difficult to be humble. But when you're humble, you're free from pride and arrogance. You can walk humbly in the power of the Holy Spirit. Humility and meekness are righteous traits for serving the will of God. In James chapter 4, verse 10, he said, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Yeah. Exalt yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. That's what you need to do. Humble yourself. Yeah, it might be a bit difficult sometimes because, I don't know, for any circumstances. But just think 1 minute before you act differently. Just think, am I doing the right thing or am I doing the wrong thing? If I'm not humble with this person, I'm doing it. I'm not humble myself with God, with the Lord. Now, let's dive in the second part of this chapter, which is the great banquet and serving God. In this parable, we got a little glimpse for what to accept the invitation to the kingdom of God. In the parable, there's a master who is doing a great banquet. And the master in this parable is God. And the great banquet is the kingdom of God. And he asks his servant to go and to say, who have been invited, to come, for everything is ready. These guests have been invited well in advance. And what happened? They began to make excuse, failing to see that the kingdom is now here, missing the feast, which is the kingdom of God. And why did they miss it? Why did they miss this kingdom? I like this one. Because they are attached with their things. They are attached with what they said. They said, I bought a field. I bought oxen. I've got married. 2 weeks ago, Tim was preaching. And if you remember, he said that people are attached to the material things. And that's What did these people say to the servant? I bought a field, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. And this is happening nowadays. People are attached to their cars, houses, mobile, and a lot of stuff, and less time with God. This shows how people have put the business of everyday life ahead of the claims of God and His kingdom. This week I received, I don't know, maybe you might receive it on your phone every week. It's a weekly report. Do you receive it? Okay. So, have you checked it? Did you check the weekly reports? What is it? Okay, I'll tell you mine. He said that, I checked the report and said that I spent 7 hours more not using my phone than using it. But when I scroll down, it shows how many times I spent on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. It says 2 hours on this one, 3 hours on that one. And then I realized, no, that's not good. That's not good. Means that the hours I'm spending on this application is the time I'm not spending with God. Because I'm attached with these things. So I decided to reduce, I can't stop, sorry, but reduce the hours of spending on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and put it in the time I don't spend. So it's 7 hours, I increase it, and I spend it with God. When I checked this report, I said, wow, that's amazing, because I never realized, because when I was preparing my sermon, I said, yeah, I'm having more time on my phone than time with God. And nowadays, we need to spend more time with God than our things. Jesus is reminding us that just like these guests who have been invited, we can also make excuses today and forget to accept God's wonderful invitation to live life with Him. We might become so busy doing our things and thinking about other things that we do not have time being with God. Let's spend more time with God and less time with things of this world. I know maybe sometimes it's difficult, but that's what we need to do. Spend more time with God and less thing with things of this world. This world is tempted. This world is not our world. So we need to spend more time with God. This parable talks about serving God. As the servant who went out to invite the guests, we have also been commissioned to invite everyone to be reconciled with God and join Him in this great banquet. We are really servants sent by the Master. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, he said, this is how one should regard us, as servant of Christ and steward of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. So, if we are Christian, we are servant of Christ. We are the stewards of the mysteries of God, the steward of the good news. As stewards, it's required to be found faithful. As God, as servant of God, we have the responsibility to the lost, to invite them, to appeal to them, to compel them to come in, to warn them. Let God prove himself to them. The role of the servant is simply to obey the commandment of God. The master of the great banquet. He is the master, and we are the servant. We are commissioned to go out to bring those who are lost, those who have doubt. We are commissioned to do that. And as servant of God, we need to find these people. Are they far from us? Are they near? Because he said, go to the street, go to the lanes to find people to bring to his grain banquet. The banquet is ready. And we need to bring more people. This is our role as servant of Christ. This is our role to bring more people, to let them know how God loves them, how God is here for them. This is our role for that. So, when we leave the church today, remember that we are the servant of God. And our role is to go on the road. Just remember that. Because a lot of people are lost. I met people. People ask me questions. And that's our role. So I will soon finish. And can I invite the band to come? This parable also reminds us that there's always room for more people to come in and join. We can invite others to accept God's invitation and join us at the best party ever. The invitation is for everyone, no matter what, whoever we meet. This invitation is for everyone. We don't need to look who is who, but we need to invite people to the great banquet. And I will pray. Can we stand, please? Heavenly Father, I pray for humble. Guide us to be humble to everyone we meet on the street. Guide us to share this humble to everyone. As we practice humility, we are humble ourselves in front of you. Yes, Lord, teach you how to be humble. Teach us how to serve you. All we need is your way, the way you bring to us. All we need is to teach us your way. Make us our servant so that we can serve you as you have planned, the plan you have for us. And we thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. To be your servant and guide us on the street, on the road, and in our work, in our neighborhood. Guide us, fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can serve you and bring the lost and everyone who need to hear your voice, hear your words. Do not let us be disturbed by this world, what is going on right now there's a lot of things. Lord, we pray that we keep all, you keep all this disturbance away from us. That we come to serve you and bring more people to your great banquet as it's now ready to celebrate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the things that you are doing in our life. Thank you. Thank you for being with us every day, and thank you for your guidance in our journey with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.